everyone. I'm your host, Mallory Mercer, Director of Advocacy and Community Engagement for the STAR Coalition. On this podcast series, we're going to shed light on some of the most stigmatized and misunderstood areas of the mental health industry. Our hope is that through this podcast, we can bring transparency and light to a system that is so heavily scrutinized. We aim to share vital information about a multitude of mental health topics while spreading the message that research equals hope. Hi, everyone. My name is Mallory Mercer. I'm the Director of Advocacy Engagement for the STAR Coalition, and today we are sitting down with Dr. Linda Gargan, who is the Executive Director of the National Federation of Families. May kicks off Mental Health Awareness Month, and this year specifically is special for the Federation of Families, as it is their first year transitioning from children's mental health awareness to children's mental health acceptance. I want to start off with a quote that I read from one of the source materials for today on why acceptance is so important. Families and children were asked, "What does acceptance mean to you?" A child said, "It means acknowledging that we all have mental health needs that require care, just like brushing our teeth." If that does not show the absolute need for acceptance around children's mental health, I don't know what will. We must foster that acceptance every day so that it becomes part of the normal routine in society. Welcome, Dr. Gargan. We're so excited to be able to sit down with you today and speak on children's mental health.
Thank you, Mallory, so much. This is a very exciting time, and I truly appreciate you being willing to sit down and talk today. I'm very excited about this.
We're very happy to have you. So will you start off by telling our listeners exactly what the National Federation of Families is and what your main objectives are?
Oh, I'm happy to do that. We are an organization that's about 35 years old, and we are a national advocacy organization that supports families who are parenting children, regardless of their age. We support across the lifespan children who are experiencing behavioral health or substance use challenges. Now, we do that through the work of our 125 chapters across the country. They are our grassroots level, arms and legs on the ground every day with families. And we support their work through technical assistance and training. And we also support their families through resources, trainings, and other supports that they let us know that they need.
Well, that's wonderful. And it's amazing that you guys have been going for so long and you have so many different chapters across the nation that really allows for wonderful outreach. Can we talk about why your organization felt the need to change the name from awareness to acceptance?
That's a great question. And we're trying as best we can to educate people across the country about this. Children's Mental Health Awareness has been a national campaign as a part of May's Mental Health Month for about 15, maybe 20 years. It actually originated with our chapter in Missouri. It was a great campaign, always a wonderful campaign. But as we've talked with families and as we have set and thought about what we're doing, we've realized that awareness is not enough. Awareness is a very passive state. You can be aware of many, many things, but not really be involved in them. Acceptance requires people to actually spend some time thinking about an issue, thinking about a focus, and then making a commitment to that focus. So because of that, we felt that it was time for us to move past the idea of awareness of children's mental health and into a full-fledged campaign of acceptance of our children.
I love that. So have you noticed, is there any correlation, do you think, between this pandemic and the changes that you've seen in children's mental health that has caused you to spur this acceptance campaign?
You know, COVID has been a double-edged sword for us. We see our children struggling with their mental health as we see their families struggling. But the other side of that is there is so much of a heightened national interest in mental health overall and in children in particular. So this helped us to think about this and to ignite this idea of it's time to get past awareness with what's happening right now, with this heightened focus on mental health. We really want people to begin to accept our children.
That's wonderful. And yeah, I think that this pandemic, if it's brought about anything, it is being accepting that all of us are going to struggle at some point in our lives. So how are children and families finding those treatment options and getting the support that they need from the National Federation of Families?
You know, our families, I'm sure you're aware of this, Mallory, our families are always searching for new treatments, new supports. Their children, their behavioral health challenges change over time. So there is a need for new supports. Certainly during the pandemic, we saw supports change to a virtual platform. And that has been met with a variety of emotions. Some of our children have done very well with that. Some of our children have had extreme challenges with telehealth, with virtual education, with all that the pandemic has brought on. So we continue to talk with our families. We continue to learn more about how their supports are working. One of the things that our families tell us is because they've been home with their children up until recently, you may have a mother and father and three or four children in a home together. And it's very difficult to find private space to speak with a therapist. To speak with a counselor. And there's just the basic issue of if you've got that many people trying to be on Wi-Fi at the same time, that's very challenging. So on top of all of the things that our families have faced on a typical day, in a typical environment, the pandemic has just exacerbated everything for them, just like it has for the rest of us.
I cannot even imagine what that would be like. So I know that you and I have spoken about some surveys that you guys did. Can you tell everyone about those surveys and what your findings were?
Our surveys were very interesting, Mallory. We really were surprised in some ways, but so happy we did them. We kept hearing, like everyone else was, about how families were doing. And depending on who you listen to, which news outlet you were listening to, the information was different. Some people felt like families were doing great. Some people felt like families were having terrible times. We decided in January of last year, it was time to really go to the source, and we surveyed our families. In our survey, we heard from over 1,000 families, which is really unprecedented. And they represented every state and Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia. What we learned was that our families truly were struggling. They were struggling with all types of life issues. They were struggling with unemployment. They were struggling with if they were employed, who was going to be with their children during the day. They were struggling with, they didn't understand the technology their kids were trying to use, and they couldn't even get them online for virtual education. Many families saw their children's behavioral health challenges exacerbated during the pandemic. We saw, oddly enough, we saw things like bullying become a bigger issue. Because if you are virtual, your space is anonymous. And we found that that was quite a problem. So we found that overall, our families were definitely struggling. They showed great empathy for teachers, but they were extremely concerned that their children's IEPs and 504 plans were not being met. That was not necessarily at all because the school did not want to. It's because the school didn't know how to do it virtually. We'd never done that before. So we found overall it was the results were discouraging, but they were very, very much based on real time life. We repeated that survey this January. We thought, okay, let's find out how things are going now. And we heard from about 800 families this time, again, representing every state. We found that some things have improved, and some families seem to be able to take a breath now, and they are getting back on schedule. Schools are still challenging because schools were still opening, closing. It was sort of that back and forth whiplash that we saw for a while. But we are seeing a small but steady increase in stability in our family life. So that was encouraging. Hopefully this trajectory will continue.
Yeah, it's devastating to hear, but you know, I cling to that little bit of hope that you guys saw in those surveys. And I know we all do. Our children are the future of this nation. And so it's so important for all of us to get involved. And, you know, our goal with the STAR Coalition is all about promoting mental health research. And you and I have talked about how difficult that is with the adolescent population because they are so fragile and we have to be so careful with them. So we need to talk about that. You know, as far as research goes, other than surveys, how else can we quantify the need for treatment options for children?
Oh, if there are any researchers out there in your audience listening, please, please consider this field of research, because we truly do need more case studies. We need more researchers who are interested in the behavioral health needs of children. We see a fair amount of research for adults, but our children still are not a primary focus for enough people. And here's the way I think about it, Mallory. Think about St. Jude's Hospital. What if we had a St. Jude's for children's behavioral health challenges? Just imagine if we had all of those brilliant researchers and clinicians working together in one place, and families could get that treatment for no charge. Imagine the giant steps we could take in learning more about children's behavioral health. And think about the impact that would have on the adult population. As these children got older, they would not have the significant challenges that they have now, because it would have been something that had been dealt with in childhood. So we are constantly talking with researchers, saying, please help us. Our families need you. Our children need you. I know prevention is difficult to measure, very, very difficult to measure. And I know that not all researchers enjoy quantitative research. So if we can get this happening, if we can blend the qualitative and the quantitative, then I think we can begin to make just huge steps in finding new ways and exciting ways to treat and support our children.
I love that you said that, because so often when I describe mental health, I say it's just like any other illness, but you can't see it. And it's so hard to explain to people, especially children that are going through so many changes in their life, that it's okay to feel these things. And so I think that you're exactly right. If we can get that research backing, we are creating a new future. So Dr. Gargan, I think that's why it's so important that we change this week from awareness to acceptance, and we take the step in that right direction for our children, for our families, and we give them that support that they need. Quickly, I want to just go back a little bit. You spoke a little bit about schools and how our resources are just depleted. Do you guys have any resources for our listeners that are within the school system on how they can get help as well?
Yes, we do. But I would also refer your listeners to the School Mental Health Project out of the University of Maryland, because that is entirely their focus, is making sure that school mental health resources exists, and they work with families and they work with schools. So they are a huge ally of ours. We have an extensive resource library, and I would just invite anyone to jump on there. If you get on our website, you can get right to it, and you can find many resources for your children and for parents in working with schools. Our schools, it's such a tough time for them. They've lost so many teachers. They're still trying to get back on their feet and get everything back in balance. And they need our support as much as anyone does. We have amazing teachers trying to do a just heroic job. But those resources, both of those are excellent resource libraries.
Wonderful. Well, that will be in our source notes today. And before we end today, I really want to talk about the events that are going on surrounding this month and this week. Can you talk about how we can support as a community and maybe ways that we can all get involved?
Oh, sure. I mean, the entire month, May, is Mental Health Month. So there will be things going on in communities everywhere during this time. But in particular, that first week of May is Children's Mental Health Acceptance Week. And Thursday of that week is Children's Mental Health Day. So you will find within our chapters, and if you aren't familiar with our chapters, go to our website, click on affiliates, and you will find our chapters in every state. These folks will be doing all kinds of grassroots activities. And they do things like they get their cities to light up things in green. And it's so beautiful to see. They'll be having rallies and barbecues and a host of other things. We at the national level will be hosting an extraordinary youth panel. We are not going to do it during that week. It will be the next week because our chapters are so busy during that week. So we're going to do this the following week, and it will be a panel of young people who are talking about how acceptance can really improve the quality of their lives. So, you know, I would just encourage everyone to get involved at some level. You'll see pictures of Congress people in green ribbons. If you see green ribbons in your community that week or that month, that's what they'll be for. So please just help us celebrate our children and help us really, really highlight the importance of acceptance.
I love all of that. And I think that even wearing green and having that unspoken support, because you never know who around you is struggling, whether they are a child or an adult, and showing that unity with them is so important and lets them know they're in a safe environment where they feel comfortable to open up about their struggles and could potentially help millions of other people. So I just want to thank you, Dr. Gargan, for coming on today and speaking on children's mental health acceptance during what I know is probably the busiest time for you right now in the Federation of Families. So we are just so appreciative of your time and your transparency with us and of all the work you're doing.
Thank you so much, Mallory. And thanks to the staff for being willing and excited about this with us. We appreciate the promotion. We appreciate your support, and we certainly appreciate your listeners.
Thank you, Dr. Gargan. So if you or anyone you know needs assistance with children's mental health, please visit our resource links listed in our source material. We will be doing a Q&A with Dr. Gargan following this episode to answer any questions that our listeners may have. You can email those questions to me at mallory@thestarwith2rs.org. Subject line, Ask Dr. Gargan. We will create a graphic with all of your questions and answers and post them to our social media. Thank you so much for joining us today.